In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, the quarter is almost over. What remain are just a few papers to complete and exams to take. And then we have a whole week of rest, at least some of us. But what kind of rest are we looking forward to? In case we forgot, our text here is reminding us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of mercy, and receive that complete rest that will take us through this day and age, and also to the kingdom to come. A holiday here or there, a visit to that or this site, is not enough if we are not seeking something far more complete, a rest for our body and soul. One day, we also hope that on our gravestone will be engraved the words in the indicative, "This man rests in peace." Go to church, therefore. Go to Holy Communion, we are told here. Sit under the pulpit and listen to the Word of God, because that is where the rest and comfort is given to us. Go there where Christ's very own words are spoken at his table. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This text is full of grace, and we should understand it as being that. But there's also a twist to it all. We are invited. The Lord of grace calls us openly, but he beckons us to carry a yoke. Yes, we should consider him a Lord of grace, but not a Lord of cheap grace. As his children, our life must be shaped according to what he says and did. We should become bearers of such humbleness and gentleness which he lived before us and as an example. And the twist is, Christ's yoke that we are supposed to take on us must be easy and will be easy, and it gives us rest and refreshment. But is a yoke, though, not what a beast of burden must carry to plow the fields? Is a yoke not something that often crushes one by its own weight? Surely a yoke means slavery. A yoke means pain and endless labor, obligation and lots of law. How then can Jesus' yoke be light and rest for our souls? Well, the nature and the weight of a yoke laid upon you will depend on the person who puts it on you. The yoke Christ lays on us is light because it comes from him. First, he gives a total new understanding of God to us. He is the mirror of his Father, and through him we see a Father of favor and grace, and not an angry and terrible judge. Through Christ, we have been revealed a special knowledge about Jesus, about God his Father. No longer, therefore, do we look upon God who teaches us what we always have to do, but a God what he did for us and what he continually gives to us. The yoke, therefore, that we have to carry comes from a God of mercy and of forgiveness. And secondly, we look upon Christ, who is humble and gentle. With these qualities, he obediently fulfilled the law of God and submissively endured all the afflictions and suffering right to the death on the cross. We see a Christ who approached the people in need with such gentleness and compassion as it was never seen before amongst the people of Israel. He was gentle to all those who were burdened and weary from the yoke of the Pharisaic laws, 613 laws and precepts. And Peter himself at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15 says this of such a yoke: "Neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear it. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. And thirdly, we know that Jesus' lifestyle matched his words. He is not putting on us anything that he did not fulfill himself. His yoke is not like that coming from the hypocrites or the modern moralists, who, as Jesus says in his seven woes, were neither gentle nor humble, but loved the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplace and have men call them rabbi. You see, people are not to be followed who cannot match their lifestyle to what they demand. We accept the yoke of Jesus, therefore, because he does what he says. He has proven his humbleness and his gentleness. And so he gives us what is light, yes, what is user-friendly. And he gives us that because he is there always continuously with us, so that even though we too are weary and burdened, we'll be carried by him through this very life of ours. In the German text, Luther had weary and burdened translated in the passive. In other words, those who are burdened and wearied by outside factors. We are not weary and burden ourselves by a self-chosen path of martyrdom or through self-inflicted pains, as individuals of certain Roman orders to this very day are doing. In walking with Christ in this world, among the people, in our vocation, the cross is never very far away. Being burdened and wearied are the consequences of being Christ's disciples, and of course, the forces of sin coming upon us day in and day out. But the fact of the matter is that Christ's call is always there and grace abounds. Being gentle and humble is therefore a way of life and Christian aptitude, we could say. And if we approach our Christians with such humbleness, we are performing already works. Luther says, learn as much as you can about gentleness, and you will have done an immeasurable number of good works. And most of all, humbleness is an aptitude which with we approach Jesus Christ for our forgiveness. Humbleness makes us worthy in the light of the Lord. Luther again says in his large catechism, I would really like to be worthy, but I come not on account of any worthiness of mine, but on account of thy word, because thou hast commanded it, and I want to be thy disciple, no matter how insignificant my worthiness. This is difficult, for we always have this obstacle and hindrance to contend with, that we concentrate more upon ourselves than upon the words that proceed from Christ's lips. Let us therefore abandon today any attempts to reach for the highest, but rather stoop down for the lowest and start building the foundation through a humble attitude. And as we do so, Christ's invitation will always be there. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, grace abounds. Thanks be to God. Amen.